So today on our podcast, we have Karen from Dandelion Safe Homes. Karen is a builder and designer, has had many jobs throughout her career and found her passion giving back to women from DV and family violence and paving a way for them to be able to own their own tiny home. So welcome to our podcast, Karen. Trade Story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's meet inspiring women kicking goals, working on the tools in trades, industry and business, and building for themselves careers they thrive in. Let's discover the meaning of success and how we can be the happiest versions of ourselves in life, finance, careers, or business. Welcome to Her Trade Story.
Tell me about yourself and your business and your story on how you got here.
So yeah, long story, but basically I did a really big journey through a difficult relationship and did a full journey from many different jobs. But my real passion was building. So my dad's a builder. I grew up playing with bits and pieces from the construction industry. I had a passion for that for a very long time when I was young. I used to play on building sites. It was my playground. So eventually when I came back to, at 35, went back to uni, knowing that my relationship was breaking down, I needed to find some sort of source of income for myself and my four kids, who I was going to be sole supporter for.
Oh, scary times.
After leaving that relationship. Yeah. So I went back to uni, completed my degree, and thought, well, and I couldn't afford to live in a traditional way of living, you know, with rentals being very high. This is going back 8 years ago.
So they're even higher now in today's
possibility. So I thought, I was watching tiny house shows on TV from the US, and I thought, you know what? Why not? Yeah. Why not? It'll be a safe roof. It'll be affordable. So I went and bought a trailer. First time I've ever driven a trailer. 9 meter long.
How did you go back in?
I took my time and, yeah, parked it in my front yard of my rental house and recruited a friend who was a carpenter because I'd done building design course. I'm like, right, I've got this. So designed it and went and resourced all the materials. Had my carpenter on site. We had the frames flat packed. Stood them up and we built it in 5 weeks.
Wow. So when you went through your career and you said your dad's a builder and you're always drawn to the building construction industry and the tools, what stopped you from becoming a chippy yourself or a builder or
in
the
line? That's still coming. It's my passion. Yeah. And look, if I can recruit a builder who's already qualified and saves me doing all that study, that's fine. But I've just completed my trainers and assessors to actually teach construction.
Course, didn't you, where you actually learned how to build a wall, do some sort of building to be able to do these tiny safe homes.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So, you know, what was it like then changing your career so many times at 35? That must have been a nervous change at 35 to think, okay, I'm going to go back to some study.
Yeah, well, I'd been a full-time mum for 15 years. But I have a passion for study. I've always loved studying, even through high school. So it didn't
like learning where you're continually learning.
I had four kids, but I studied, you know, two subjects at uni over 3 years. So I took my time and
broke your goal down into small, manageable bits.
Yeah.
And how did you stay motivated to actually do your study? Because I'm doing a Cert 4 in workplace health and safety, and I find it really hard to actually go, I'm going to hit the books. There's always some sort of distraction, some child sick or something. So what did you do? Did you sort of go, all right, on these nights, I'm going to dedicate that to my study?
I fitted it in everywhere I could because if I didn't have a way of providing. So I had a real drive to actually do it because it was survival. I had to provide for my family.
That drive, that desire and that passion is so instrumental in achieving big goals and achieving big dreams, I believe. That if you don't have that burning desire then and that fire in your belly, you're not going to do too much. It's amazing what you can achieve when that desire and that passion is so evident. Tell me about your Dandelion Safe Homes, because I love what you're doing and your mission and what your values are. It's such a great concept.
Yeah, it's a duplication of my own journey. You know, coming out of a DV situation, when I was in it, I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't know how I was going to survive financially. I didn't know how to mow the grass. Mm. Things like that, just the small things that actually defeated me. So I learned each one slowly. And I thought, well, okay, I learn how to mow the grass. One less thing to
acquire all those little skill sets.
Just excuses for being there. I had to overcome each one slowly, and each excuse that came up, I dealt with it as it came up. So Dandelion Safe Homes is helping other women to walk that journey. Okay, well, you know, I don't know how to live financially. Okay, well, here's a way to do it. you know, I don't know what a healthy relationship looks like. Okay, well, here's some training around that. So Dandelion Safe Homes is overcoming those things to allow a woman to live life rather than just survive.
It's but no, it's more than that too. It's to be able to live off the grid, would I be correct? Yes. To be able to live off the grid whilst gaining a Certificate 1 in construction. Yes. So it's more that it's giving, providing women all those other things like the financial help, the emotional help, the social help, as well as a qualification, as well as then being able to get a small loan to be able to then build their own tiny home to reduce their cost of living and ultimately give their families a safe place to live.
And not everybody has a building design degree to then give them the confidence to go out and build their own tiny home. So we show them this is how you do it. It's not hard. It is a challenge. But if you're wanting to go that way and you're wanting to be independent and financially able to walk out of a relationship that's literally killing you, here's how you do it.
Yeah, amazing. So what is your favourite quote or that it inspires you and that motivates you in case one of our listeners are looking for some sort of inspiration? What drives you? What do you think about when things are tough?
So mine is Psalms 46 verse 10. So basically, be still and know that I'm God. I haven't had a lot of peace in my life, but these days I like to just sit in nature. I'm very nature conscious. I love to go for a walk and just sit in nature and enjoy creation around me. I think peace gives me also that drive to be able to find more peace in my life.
Yeah. Anxiety and the like as well, isn't it? I know that it's big for our family to go to Nippers every Sunday and put our feet in the sand and just that touching nature. I find there's such a big benefit in that and just appreciating and showing thinking of the things that you're grateful for whilst you're in that that sort of environment to with gratitude. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give other females who are struggling to find their own path in life?
So I think going back to childhood was a huge thing for me. So prior to my relationship where I'd lost myself, I found myself back there.
Yeah.
Finding passions that I had when I was a kid. I used to ride horses when I was a kid. I loved horses. So I've gone back to that.
Yeah.
You know, once a fortnight or whatever, I go ride a horse.
That sense of play and sense of adventure that we have as a child, life, society, everything, we just forget about pure happiness and joy.
Yeah. And I think that's where your passion's found. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, you know, they actually know instinctively what's built into them and what they enjoy doing. My daughter loves playing, you know, play with me, mommy, play with me, but she'll play daycares or she'll be teaching or she'll be drawing. So it's like, it's kind of like an inbuilt thing. Whereas I was building little robots out of wood. That was me when I was growing up. So it's inbuilt. So to encourage any other women, go back to your childhood and just take a look and, you know, what were you doing? What were you passionate about? What were you actually have, what do you have built into you already? Yeah. And find that again and live it.
Yeah, that's great advice. What are some of your biggest challenges that you've found as a female in the construction industry?
Just the attitudes, I think. I think the construction industry has been so male dominated for a really long time. To actually stand up and challenge that, especially coming from a relationship that has been very overbearing, is really difficult. You know, walk into a room full of 40 men, white male men who have that mentality of this is how it is, and walking in and going, well, not really. And it seems to be a theme in a lot of industries, you know, let's get women involved, let's get the equality happening with women in the industry. But I walk in there and it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
So it's having the guts to be able to say, you know, what's happening is not okay. If you want more women in this industry, you have to be conscious of how women function and to treat them with the same amount of respect.
I think to stay on the tools as well, we have to be adaptable as business owners and people in construction to allow that adaptability in our lives. We need to have those jobs that are from 9 till 3 for people on the tools to be able to do if we want to keep and retain female participation in the tools, or a part-time capacity. And we need to build our on the tools workforce to be able to have those positions available rather than it being from 7 till 3, which is very hard with the expectation of overtime if needed. When you've got children, you've got 4, I've got 4, and it's a real balancing act. And I think it's one where we can still have that, we still need to have considerable growth in the construction industry. Do you have any male allies that really support you? I know I'm fortunate enough to have a fabulous group of men that support me in different areas of construction. And I think those male allies that play such a pivotal role in being able to then boost our confidence.
Yes.
And to boost our perception too of how it is. Do you have many male role models?
Not enough
male cheerleaders. So the men, they're so important that they tell us that and support us, and those words of encouragement are so important.
I think also the males don't know how to. They're actually really, really wanting to. I've had quite a lot of men approach me and say, well, we actually have no clue what you're talking about. Can you come and educate us as to what that looks like? These are older men in the industries training young men, but they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to educate the younger men coming through. So I think it's also around education and saying, okay, well, women actually function differently. And in some ways, they actually can challenge the construction industry because it's been done like that for so long doesn't necessarily mean that's the best way of doing something.
I mean, if I believe that things in life are not actually a failure if you learn something from it, because with every failure comes a great lesson that we can take on board and bring into our future selves. What's been your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
My biggest failure would be not believing in myself enough.
That's a big one.
And I think that's across the board with women. Yes. Women have an instinctive value to put everyone else first in life, you know, especially when you become a mum and, you know, you're running the family from the ground up. And the responsibility falls on you for a lot of things. And you put yourself and what you're wanting always last, which is a given as a mum and as a, you know, a wife and a family. But I think also comes that lack of knowing who you are and being able to be confident enough to say, okay, well, hang on a minute, I've actually got desires and needs and passions that I would like fulfilled as well. So I think my biggest failure is not recognising that and being able to evaluate enough and ask, like actually voice the fact that, okay, well, I'd really like to go and do this, like even just the horse riding that, you know, I've refound, to be able to say, okay, well, I'd like to go horse riding.
Take those couple of hours and I'm not a bad mum, and that mum guilt sets in and it's like if I'm going to spend that amount of money, I'm not going to be taking something away from my kids because I'm going to come back a better mum and a more present person as well in the family.
Yeah, but just believing in yourself, like not kind of listening to the way society defines a woman, is particularly because women are so powerful, they're so strong.
Yeah.
But often they have no clue and they don't see it in themselves. Another woman can come along and see who you are and go, oh, my goodness, look at what you've achieved, whereas you can be sitting there going, oh, my goodness, I feel like such a failure.
I did a speech the other week and I was, this is terrible. It did not come off how I wanted to come off. Yeah. And then lovely person took the opportunity to ring me. We were texting each other back and forth and I'm like, oh, so disappointed in my performance. And she rang me and she said, you were actually really, really good. She was like, you inspired people. It was great. It was brilliant.
Yes.
But in my mind, all I could think of was I didn't do this right. I didn't come off my delivery. I forgot to click the PowerPoint slide to match what I was saying.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes if you can embrace those imperfections, mm-hmm. then you can, you're actually modeling to women that imperfections are great.
Yes.
And you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You can, you know, but that self-doubt, it's such a hard mindset to get through. How do you deal with self-doubt then? Do you have a tool that you use that when you can, do you identify that self-talk in your brain and go, all right, this is not healthy, I need to change this thought pattern?
Well, luckily for me, I've got a twin sister, and for me to actually, even in my situation with my relationship that was really, really bad, I had to put myself in her shoes and look at it from the outside and being able to say, okay, well, if that was my sister in that position, what would I say to her?
Mm-hmm.
And by taking myself out of the situation, I could clearly see that what I was doing was wrong. Like what I was doing, how I was handling the situation, why I was staying, the reasons why I was staying were all really, really negative and really wrong.
You're accepting them for yourself, but you would never accept that situation for a loved one that you love.
So I think if you're having a lot of negative self-talk, you've got to learn to love and value yourself enough to recognize that. But if you can actually physically put someone else in that position and picture yourself, well, what would I say to that person? It actually makes things a lot easier. That's how I
go. Yeah, and that's a great tool.
Oh, my goodness, what have you achieved? Like when you look at it from the outside, it's much easier.
A different perspective than what your inner brain, that talk is actually telling you. Do you use gratitude as well to think of when you're in that negative mindset or that negative self-taught? I know that I did a book on the Resilience Project, which said about looking for the gratitude every day. And you sort of then, I think, Alyssa, find three things that you're grateful for. What's great in your life today?
And gratitude's a huge thing. And again, it's something that I don't do often enough, but is definitely a fantastic tool to be able to actually recognize what you do have in your life that sometimes you do, you know, take for granted. So
tool to pass on to other women and also our kids.
Yes.
Quite often when my boys are just moaning and growing, I'm like, tell me three things you're grateful for. You're like, oh, mom. And it's like, all right, well, come on, let's do it. And it sort of makes them smile and you can see that sort of that transition over with them.
Yeah. So what could I
you can remember for so many. You've got a life-changing plan that's going to change the lives of so many women to be able to build their houses and happy life.
Like I've lived a life that it's survival, and I hate seeing other women do it. I hate seeing women live in survival where, you know, they're not looking beyond today. Like I want women to actually look, okay, well, and that question alone inspires, if you ask yourself that question, what is it that I want to be remembered? Like, do I want to be remembered for just existing?
Yeah.
Or do I want to be remembered for actually building into other people? You know, like I want to inspire other women to go, okay, well, what's your passion and how can we get you there?
Yeah.
Like, don't just exist. Don't just follow somebody else's passion.
Live life. Yeah.
Actually,
live your life.
Live your life. Everyone's individual. And if you follow somebody, especially in a relationship, you can lose yourself really easily, you know. You're a value. You're actually, you have a value and you need to go live that life.
Yes.
I like what you're talking about with gratitude. I think for women, like for myself in particular, when I was in my negative relationship, you know, I thought, oh my goodness, this is terrible. But realistically, when I look at other women, there's so many other women in worse situations too. So, you know, the charity's been set up to actually inspire women to live a better life, but also then to duplicate that.
Yes.
So there's that multiplication issue, you know, okay, yes, you know, you've been helped. Okay, now go find someone else who can also help.
Yeah, pass that sense of service on. And that sense of service is such an important aspect as well, to be able to live a fulfilled and purposeful life by being able to help.
Yeah.
So what's your biggest challenge now at the moment in building? So Dandalong Safe Homes, for people that might not know, they're a not-for-profit, they're a charity, they're looking for donations and sponsorship. Mm. So what is your biggest challenge in being able to build this your first tiny home to be able to create this revolution for women to put them through their Cert 1 in construction, to be able to then for them to get some finance through, transition them on the tools, as well as build their own home? What's the challenge?
So basically we're due to launch in October. We're doing the Cert.
This has been a 7-year process. Yeah. You're still as committed as ever.
Oh,
7 years is a long time for you to be working on this project.
This is one part of the bigger project. There's three stages from beginning to end, pretty much, where a woman can actually recognize if they're in a relationship that's not healthy. How do I think about removing myself and regaining life and regaining passion in life, but then also giving them the tools to do that? So through training, whether that's in construction, whatever that looks like, the construction course is built around the fact, okay, you have an income for 24 weeks.
You in have a traineeship that's provided to you by state government funding.
That's right. It gives them the tools to have that income for 24 weeks to get then into another job, you know, in the construction industry, hopefully, because we want more women in the construction industry. But being able to then have a secure income, that then positions them to be able to get low-income finance or vendor finance to purchase their own tiny home. So these tiny homes we're building can then be purchased by women to give them financial independence. It's a huge asset, you know, worth $80,000 to $100,000. They'll then own that asset. It's a huge asset. It's a huge stepping stone, you know, into their future. It gives them the ability to be able to say, okay, well, this is me. I'm on my own two feet. I can provide for myself and my family. It's so empowering to have a roof over your head. So, yeah, the biggest issue, I suppose, at the moment is to get materials, to get providers on board. It's a tiny house. We need, you know, not many square meters of cladding, or, you know, we've got to purchase a trailer to put it onto. So it's getting these materials. We have a workshop, we have a location, so we have a place to build it.
Yeah.
But then it's from there, we're also going to be sending the initial ones to women's shelters. So they're already going to be providing additional accommodation for women escaping DV. Yeah.
So what's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given, and who gave it to you?
Good question. Yeah, believe in yourself. And I keep getting told that because it's a constant issue for me, even though looking at everything that I've achieved in life and what I've done, people are always very inspired by what I've done. But again, for me, it's still a self-belief issue. People keep saying to me, be confident, you know, walk your walk. And if you can't have that confidence, you can't inspire other people. So for me, that's my constant, you know, believe in yourself, you know, stand on your own two feet and live life, live with passion. You know, don't live a boring life, live a passionate life that you know, you can actually inspire other people through.
Yeah, that's great. And so tell our listeners how they can find you. How can they find you and find more about what you're doing in the projects you're delivering for women in construction?
So through our website, dandelionsafehomes.com.au. So basically, yeah, the website has a lot of information on it. So they can contact, they can email dandelionsafehomes@gmail.com.
And Karen, I have to ask my last question that I ask every guest. How do you bring your A game every day to life? What do you do? What's your A game?
Again, looking how I can inspire other people. I don't want to live a life just for me. I want to live a life that inspires other people. I get up every morning and go, who can I inspire today beyond myself? My kids are first, I suppose. I wake up and take them to school and inspire them to, what's your dream? What's your passion? Go live it.
So thanks, Karen, for coming and being our guest in our podcast today. If you want some more information on Karen, we'll put it into the show notes. If you have gotten a lot out of this podcast in today's session, please press like, subscribe, and tune in for next week's podcast. Remember, if you know a friend or somebody else that you know that would benefit from today's podcast, please share it with them and let's inspire some more women together. Till next time, don't forget to bring your A game.
Thank you for joining us on Her Trade Story. If you loved today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and share. Your support helps us inspire more listeners like you. Stay tuned for more empowering stories and practical tips to shape your path to success. Until next time, and remember, every day show up and bring your A game.